Okay, we're going to, in that case, move on to item two, where we are going to discuss what we want to see in the next permanent state forester, what attributes, what are we looking for? And we also are going to, in our conversation, have some subject matter experts that are joining us. I think we've got John, Sylvia, Tricia, Matt, and Annika. If you could each introduce yourself and who you're representing at this time, that would be useful.
Wonderful. I'll lead off. Good morning, Board. My name is Annika Marriott, for the record. I am a general counsel, natural resources section of the Department of Justice. I am the contact counsel for the State Forest Division.
Great.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Van Dyke, and I am an attorney at Department of Justice, like Annika, but I'm in the labor and employment section, and I'm here to assist with any labor and employment related legal questions.
Great. John?
Good morning. I'm John Paschal. I'm the executive recruiter in the Department of Administrative Services and the CHRO's office. Good morning.
Thank you. So I encourage the board, as we discuss desired attributes and hear from the public on what they are looking for in the next state forester, to challenge our positions as we discuss and identify the key criterion, qualities, or skills that will be the foundation for the position description and job posting. Additionally, our deliberations will initiate dialogue between the public and the board, as well as department staff, as their input will be incorporated with the final body of work. The Deputy State Forester will assist with capturing input from department staff about what they would like to see in the next state forester. With the help from the Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Justice, we can review process questions and explore what the board work will look like over the next few months as we proceed with the recruitment of Oregon's next state forester. For general awareness, the attachments included with the staff report on item two are derived from past recruitments and are merely samples for the board, department, and the public to consider. They can provide insight to the board as we discuss and shape the qualifications, attributes, criterion, and skills desired for this chief executive officer position. So our next step here is for board member comments. And I was provided some comments from Joe Justice, who wasn't able to be here with us today. So I would like to, I think, just to start, share what Joe has written, and then move on to each of you. From Joe, the 11 desired attributes listed in the packet from 6/28/16 are still relevant today. Many of these 11 attributes point out leadership, vision, and communication, which we must have in our next state forester. I would add an inclusive, collaborative, servant leader who has a strong desire to see Oregon's people, forests, and economy flourish. A leader that can facilitate the often difficult and imperfect decisions that are informed by both science and values. Our next state forester is, of course, a forester in bold type that must understand and be familiar with the complex forest ecosystems we have in our state. It will be critical our next state forester understands the challenges facing Oregon related to firefighting, fire finance, and fire prevention. It's important to me the next state forester is familiar with the governor's wildfire council and plays an important role in moving forward the council's recommendations. ODF has a strong culture of service. I can personally attest to this as I've worked alongside ODF personnel for many years. Our next day force will need to maintain and hopefully grow this culture of service within the department. All right, that was from Joe. And at this point, we will open this up to other board member comments. Who would like to go first? Carla.
I'd be happy to go first. I think as I read the position description and as I look at some of the significant work that lays ahead of us today, I would really like to strengthen the financial management capacity of this position. You know, we manage a biennial budget over $500 million. We've had $485 million of wildfire costs the last 5 years, a large class action lawsuit. We manage assets, something over $4 billion. This is not a small organization, and I think while we need the attributes, we need to really, that as they are today, we really need to think about the financial and management capacity of this position and strengthen that. Thank you.
Okay, Brenda.
For the record, Brenda McComb. Carla, thank you for that.
I know you're a little bit muffled with the mask.
I'll try this. How's that?
That's better.
Okay. Thank you, Carla. Business acumen was on my list as well. Three other things that I would like to see explicitly outlined in the position description and in the recruitment and advertisement piece is a commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, particularly a recruitment effort which ensures that we develop a candidate pool which meets the requirements that we'll come to agreement on here today, but also represents a diverse candidate pool. Another attribute that I would like to ensure that the new permanent state forester has is a deep understanding of science, both biophysical science and social science, and how to access that information and how to use that information in making decisions. And the final attribute I'd like to see is collaborative skills. Particularly meaningful collaboration with other state agencies, as well as a variety of stakeholders.
Thank you. Ben?
Just for the record, Ben Däumling. I've been thinking a lot about this position and what it represents and what you have to do here. And I'm focused on trying to get as large an applicant pool as possible. I think we need a unicorn for this position. And as I look through these qualifications and attributes, I feel like they're fairly narrow. There's a lot of lines in here that sort of focus and in some ways seem to point to someone who's already within the department, which is not something that we should exclude at all, but I want to make sure that this pool is as large as possible. And a couple points in the desired attributes, it very much says you need to have experience and understanding of the laws and policies and the operations of the department here in Oregon. And while that's important, that really precludes us from bringing in outside perspectives. Those are things that can be learned. A good leader can learn those fairly quickly, especially with the phenomenal staff that we have here in the department. And I want to find ways that we can write this description that is following on Brenda's point, that is inclusive, that opens up to as broad a pool as possible of highly talented individuals. Following on what Carla had to say about financial management, for me, while I agree financial management is critical, and I think needs to be a big part of this job description, executive experience, leadership experience, those are for me the most important attributes. the technical knowledge of how trees grow is less critical in my mind for this position. There's a phenomenal staff here in the department who know about fire and about trees. This leader needs to be focused on people and communication and knowing how to put those pieces together and put them in place. So those are some of my initial thoughts.
I'll just comment, Ben, I noted the same piece about the specific and the job description around knowledge of these specific Oregon policies. And I, for one, agree and noted that should be not in that job description. I agree with you that all can be picked up pretty easily if we've got the kind of capable person that we need, and we don't want to exclude those other potential applicants. The whole job description, what I struggle with a lot of it, I think most of those things need to be listed, but it's pretty technocratic, you know, and so as much as those things do need to be listed, we just have to also really focus on the humanity part of this process and our needs, I think.
I guess I'll go.
You bet, Chandra.
For the record, Chandra Ferrari. I will be mostly, I guess, reiterating what others have said at this point, but agree that making a job description that will pull from the largest group of diverse candidates is what we want to do. And we're a little bit constrained by our statutory requirements, I think, and what has to be in there to some extent. But I certainly agree with that goal. And I also had on my list, of course, financial management skill set and seeing a desire to improve the financial condition of the agency. I also had on my list a strong understanding of science and how to use it or how to get it, much like Brenda said. I think that's a very important trait. The other piece that I think is important, and it's sprinkled throughout this, I think, but it is someone who's going to foster a culture that embraces accountability, someone who is accountable, someone who has a track record of being accountable. And that means, I think, setting a future-oriented, ambitious agenda, though, that can be tracked with metrics and that you're able to deliver on those. And you're able to communicate that to a broad range of stakeholders, how you're delivering on those. And so some of that is captured in these bullets. I think it might be a little bit clearer. I'd like to see that come out of a candidate, right? That's what they have a track record of doing. Because I think that's what we need to do here in all areas to improve trust amongst stakeholders. And it's partly the financial pieces, but it's also some of the other substantive pieces. We need to be really clear on what we're wanting to do over the future, how we're going to get there, sell the vision to as many folks as possible, as many stakeholders, and then demonstrate success. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting some of this out in the public space to hear what others have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. When I was doing the introductions, I failed to note the actual presence of our HR in-house ODF HR, Trish, who is also here to help advise us. So thank you for being here. As you all might expect, I also have some comments. So let me try that now. First of all, I just would like to say that a lot of good work has been done in the past to develop the list of attributes and a job description for the state forester. So I do feel that there's no reason to throw that out. We need to build on that rather than start over. But that does beg the question, what has changed since 2016? I would argue that everything has changed due to climate change and the new fire environment. The stakes are just higher. Today, climate change caused fires are a clear and present danger to life, public health, communities, and the greater Oregon economy. The commitment described in the first attribute in the 2016 version to the various communities that depend upon the social, economic, and environmental resources associated with forests no longer cuts it, in my view. We need a leader who understands and embraces their responsibility to all Oregonians and their expectations of safety, health, and a sound economy. So in other words, I'm saying we need to look beyond just those rural communities that are, not that we ignore those communities whatsoever, but further with these higher stakes, the need goes far beyond a good caretaker. We need a visionary leader who is ready and willing to identify needed significant structural changes. Then we'll work together with state leadership, the federal government, and all our other stakeholders to execute those changes. All options need to be on the table, and no subjects can be taboo. We need a natural leader who will be seen with respect and admiration throughout ODF, a leader who asks a whole lot of their team, but does that with understanding, encouragement, and empathy. We need a leader who recognizes and rewards competency and who at the same time does not ignore those who need coaching or other help. Finally, we need a leader who will engender and maintain the confidence and respect, not just of the board and ODF staff, but of the governor's office, the legislature, and all of our stakeholders. This person will be an excellent communicator and someone who just naturally cultivates relationships. And I would say that's a lot to ask, but I would also say that a lot is at stake. Okay. At this point, any of our subject experts that are with us, Trish and the rest of you, we're opening this up to any advice and comments that you would like to share with all of us.
Well, thank you, Chair Kelly. You know, I think I would appreciate the prompting, John, to, you know, explain to the public a bit about what your role is in helping the board and some of the, you know, steps that you'll take, the feedback that you're receiving from the board and the public very soon, and what you plan to do with that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Annika. Good morning, Chair Kelly, board members, State Forester Hirsch, stakeholders, and HR business partners. With the information, I've taken down quite a bit of really good information for the desired attributes, really, really good information. With the one thing that stood out was a diverse candidate pool and a large applicant pool. With the experience that I have, as well as partnering with our HR business partners, I believe that we will be able to meet that goal. Looking outside of Oregon, that was one of my questions. Are we only looking internally and casting that net wider? I really believe that we can find the candidate that we're looking for. Certainly a unicorn, but I believe that person is out there. With the recruitment plan, I'm looking at a 90-day recruitment plan. We have a lot of participants involved, so scheduling of meetings will certainly be a challenge. However, with the three of us, myself, Hillary, and Trish, we'll be able to work in the background of getting, not only getting the word out, but also utilizing certain distribution channels that we have access to. So with the recruitment plan, I'm looking at having someone in place for this position September 7th. And how we're going to do that using not only VidCruiter, and VidCruiter is actually an interview portal that we can use and assign folks to rate interviews, because we still are in COVID. So I'm not sure if we're looking at face-to-face interviews, but it's been very successful with other executive recruitments that I've worked on, because we can actually rate these folks from wherever we have access to logging in. So utilizing VidCruiter will certainly not only capture the time, but it'll keep the process on track. Now, the agreement of the position description, as well as what we're doing now with the desired attributes, but we're also looking at the required. I'll work with HR business partners to make sure that that is in place. But there will be some voting, obviously, from the board, and I'll lean on Hillary as well as Trish for that. But I'm certainly here to support this process. I'll be leading the recruitment process, but whatever the board or Chair Kelly needs, certainly feel free to reach out to me. There are many steps that are involved. However, they're not steps that that are that challenging. It's just a progression of the recruitment itself. What I would like to have from everyone involved are the different listservs. I mean, if we're looking for a diverse candidate pool, these distribution channels will be key. I have a personal international pipeline, so they go out to my pipeline as well. And those folks will, for the lack of a better term, I deputize them to help me find folks. So we do have a leg up on that of getting the word out along with these distribution channels, different diversity groups and associations, as well as our internal DAS. DAS, as well as LinkedIn, as well as I believe Trish added Partners in Diversity. They have a long arm. There's a long reach that we can connect with folks that we wouldn't necessarily connect with. But the associations and memberships that you all may be a part of, those are the groups that I would like to connect with as well, and also have you send out to your personal pipelines. So to ensure that we do get a large candidate pool and not necessarily the folks that we're expecting to apply, but to have that balanced pool that we're looking at. So hopefully I answered your questions.
Great, John, thank you. Trish, did you have, it looked like you had a few comments.
Nothing too much additional than what John had said. I'll echo and support his comments. I do think that it's key, just from what I've heard today and in previous conversations, that it's an active recruitment versus a passive recruitment in order to get, you know, the candidate pool and have the opportunity to select, because it is a critical position and you guys have very specific wishes and needs in this position. And it is a unique hybrid of what you're looking for. And so, you know, I think that's where John's expertise will come in, and the partnership with all of you. And, you know, my role is to support John and all of you and all of us as well, and assist in that. But that's really going to be key, is making those connections and, you know, being an active recruitment versus passive.
You know, I'd like to make just a few comments about, because I'm learning as I go through this process too, we've got various things going on. You know, one, that we were required by statute to get public comment in two meetings. And the history has been some special meetings. I have where meetings have been scheduled with relatively short notice, and I'm not sure that really met the intent of the law in terms of public comment. So we're taking a little more time than what would be ideal, but this is our first regularly scheduled meeting where we will be accepting comment that we can incorporate into our plans and our edited version of attributes and so on. So that And since I didn't feel it was appropriate to do that in special meetings, we will be trying to develop that into a near final version for our next regularly scheduled public meeting in July. We will again take public comment at that point. And what I am hoping is that we will schedule probably a Zoom special meeting, hopefully within a week after that meeting, so that we're still completing this work in July. And at that meeting, we would be essentially approving all those materials and our process plan for what we're going to go do forward, from that point out. Everybody I'm working with, Trish and John, I think certainly I've seen a real devotion to seeing a wide array of applicants and that we can achieve that diversity of applicants that we all like to see. One of the conversations that I'm having is around whether or not we also contract with a professional search firm. And I'm not sure where that's going to go. I mean, John, I'm not convinced yet that that's necessary, but it may be. I certainly welcome everyone's input on that. But some of those conversations will be happening, outside of these public meetings. We've also had input from at least one state legislator who's got an idea of who we should be using if we do use an outside firm. So, at that point where we have a meeting where we approve the plan going forward, and I haven't really formulated a plan, but there are another decision, and I'd like to get some feedback from all of you, maybe that we have a for the interview process, or at least the first stages of the interview process, as a subcommittee of the board, no more than three, obviously. So I'd like to get some feedback. That decision's not going to be made immediately as to whether, and I only would consider that just in terms of ease of operation and through that interview process, because we do have, of course, our public meeting rules if we're all present, and it gets pretty challenging to get through that kind of process. At the same time, I would certainly recommend that there be a process and once this candidate pool that is whittled down that involves all of you having direct connection and time with our final candidates. So with that, comments from board members?
Brenda McComb for the record. Thank you, Jim. A few comments relative to search firms. Universities use search firms pretty regularly for upper level executive positions. And I think by and large, they are helpful because they do have many connections across the country and even in other countries to identify people who fit the profile that we're looking for, but also will help ensure a diverse candidate pool. So I'm not suggesting that it's something that we should require, but I think it is something we should consider seriously. The other comment is just a question, I guess, a process question. We've all offered suggestions for characteristics that we'd like to see in the position description. That's going to evolve over time with public input. What is the process for maintaining an iterative changing position description until we reach the point where we make a decision?
That sure seems like a good question. I think we're going to have some staff help here, but I am guessing we are going to have a process here where with staff help, we're and listening to these first conversations, including the public comment we get today, that there will be some edited versions on the attributes and on the job description. And I think I'm guessing that we're going to be shuffling paper around in the next few weeks, soliciting more comments so that we have something that people are comfortable with, board members are comfortable with by the time we're meeting again in July.
Just to follow up on that, I'm not sure, Hillary, if a Google Doc is something that can be used in this setting where we continue to update and change and edit, and all of those are tracked through time so we can see what the changes are. Might be something to consider. Relative to the subcommittee that would be screening applicants, Jim, I think that's efficient, but I do have concerns that a subset of us may miss people who others of us may see as possible candidates. So I think that deserves more discussion.
I hear that. And I would just comment, I just want to add further, as we do a process to go through this job description stuff, we do need to be careful about not making decisions outside of a board meeting. So we need to be just mindful of that necessity. Go ahead, Ben.
I guess I had a couple questions. One, you had mentioned earlier that Lena was going to be collecting input from staff on this description, and I guess I wanted to hear a little more about that process and make sure that it was a robust and wide-reaching process to solicit input from staff from the whole department on what they're hoping for in this position.
Lena, are we able to get you to a microphone to address your thoughts on where that's going?
Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Hirsch. Sorry, that took a while to get out there. For the record, my name is Lena Tucker, Deputy State Forester. Yes, we've been having some just brief conversations, brainstorming about how best to gather input from the employees of the department based on desired attributes for the next State Forester. And so key today is listening to your discussion here on what you're looking for in desired attributes. And we can use that as kind of the initial brainstorming session to work with employees. One of the quickest ways to get to that input would be some type of survey, but we don't want it to be a checkbox, yes, no. So consider it more of a open-ended narrative, if you will, in terms of, giving folks the venue and the opportunity to express what is most important to them in looking towards the next leadership for the agency. So I'll be working with our public affairs director, who has the skill set in kind of composing, the right questions, the right tool that we can use to get this. We'll also be doing some outreach at district staff meetings, unit meetings, as best we can to just hear from people in person. So today kind of kicks off the formal process in terms of getting out to have discussions with the employees of the agencies. And we look forward to doing that.
And I would just comment, you're hearing our discussion, you understand sort of the time constraint that we're going to have and the challenge of, and if we don't get it until like the next meeting, it'll be really hard for us to seriously integrate the feedback that we get. So
I have no worries, Chair Kelly, that the department employees are eager to provide input. So as soon as I say, here's the venue, they're probably sending me emails right now. No, we will get you the information you need definitely within or before the frames of your timelines.
Wonderful.
I look forward to it.
I understand, John, you have some further comments.
Yes, Chair Kelly, thank you. I wanted to address, but also obtain more information regarding reviewing the candidates. Throughout the process, once the position has closed, I will review for minimum qualifications as well as veterans' preference, and then I will rank them and provide a summary of the ranking and why. So I just wanted to, I guess, understand, are candidates going to be reviewed prior to the close of the position closing, or is it after? I'm trying to understand at what point will the board be reviewing candidates.
Well, we can't even meet in executive session until we've completed this public input process. So I believe that means that we can't start that process until the meeting that will follow our next public meeting, which really puts it at the end of July.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brandy?
Just a quick follow-up on Ben's question to Lena. Lena, sorry that we, would you mind? Just a quick question. Given all the changes that Chair Kelly mentioned earlier, you know, what has changed in the last 4 years? Well, just about everything. I'm wondering, when you ask staff for their input, is there a way to ensure that staff who may have a different view from the majority to offer their opinions anonymously?
Yes, that's actually a great question. And again, it gets back to using some type of survey tool so that we can have anonymous feedback. We find that we get the most open and honest feedback when folks don't have to declare their name or their work location. And so again, having almost a hybrid model, you know, in-person discussions, if folks want that, as well as some type of survey tool that allows people their privacy and sharing their true thoughts. So that's important in making sure that we tease out what the needs are and the desires.
Thank you, Lena.
Mm-hmm. By the way, board members, you cannot do that anonymously. Just... Okay, I think we are. Oh, Sean.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to clarify for the. Considering the subcommittee, that would be the after John takes the
yes
that list, and then it would be a first crack at the actual interviews of the people who are selected, and that would be in a public forum because we'd have.
Well, the actual interviews and all would
right.
be in, obviously private.
Right, but anytime the group meets outside of that to have any sort of conversation,
the board,
yeah. Okay. And then I was just curious, when I was looking at the recruitment plan, there's also this concept of stakeholder forums that comes into play that I think when I was talking to staff before, it seemed like that was something that was utilized when you got down to a couple candidates and that they were included. And I was just interested in how that process unfolded and if we're interested in utilizing it here. Or if that's something that we can defer
sure.
to later.
But. I'll keep repeating, I'm learning as we go here too. I mean, we saw that model and I think it was probably likely that we are going to do something similar. I really haven't gotten that far in terms of investigating exactly how that worked and learned, you know, how well it worked last time and any changes and all. So it's early for me to comment, but I'm suspecting we're going to do something very similar as to what has been done before at that stage, but more to learn.
Chair Kelly.
Carla?
Yeah, just one quick thought. I think Brenda brings up a good comment that, you know, many of us will look at these candidates from a very different lens. And so maybe having, you know, having a group of qualified candidates that meet the minimum requirements is probably something that, you know, maybe two groups of three, you know, we review those, because I don't expect thousands of candidates here, but we review those and we make sure that, you know, that diverse lens is really screening those, you know, top potentials, and then, you know, bring those names forward. So I think that's a thoughtful comment.
So I would just add, you know, in the intervening weeks here, any ideas on as you guys review the materials that we were given on structure for any of that, please just feed them, you know, directly to me. So that'll really be helpful. Annika, I understand you have some comments.
Yes, just a general comment. You know, I'm listening to everything that's been said, and I just want to reiterate that, you know, this really is your process. I can hear from Board Chair Kelly that, you know, it's very open to ideas about both, you know, potential changes to the recruitment plan that Chandra just touched upon. There's also, you know, I think, you know, from my perspective, don't forget that there is an opportunity to either do a work session or any kind of future meeting in between your two meetings where you've gathered all this feedback. You know, the staff is really going to be have gathered everything today, looked at the public comment, and could be directed by you to either throw up a new draft for the next meeting's discussion to all comment upon, or for a work session to kind of narrow it down to get to this next draft. It's really up to you. It can all, you know, occur in a, you know, a work session. But obviously, we would just notice it as a public meeting, but it's really an open process. There are lots of different ways to go about, you know, this iterative process. So I just wanted to make sure that you understand we are a resource. We've seen at DOJ it done in different ways, mm-hmm. to kind of get to your next draft.
Right.
So please don't hesitate to kind of reach out or share your thoughts today on what you would hope for.
Thank you. So I'm understanding that to be that if we determine to be necessary in the next few weeks, we would call a special board meeting with a normal notice requirements so that we could specifically further these conversations to the working specifically on those documents. Brenda.
Brenda McCombe, for the record, I just want to second Carla's idea of having two screening groups, two groups of three, to review what we get back from John. I think that really would help set my mind at ease that we're not going to be missing somebody who.
Okay. I'm going to move this on to public comments if we have any. Hillary, has anyone signed up to provide public testimony today?
Chair Kelly and members of the board, no one has signed up to provide testimony.
No one?
No one.
Okay. Well, we've got, in that case.
However, it is probably good to note that we are, according to your opening comments, public testimony can be sent in, written testimony to the Board of Forestry at Oregon.gov through June 23rd.
All right. Thank you. Okay. No public testimony. So we've got a few more minutes on this topic in our schedule. I wasn't trying to cut you all off. We were having a pretty good lively discussion there. Anything further from board members?
And I'm going to come for the record, Jim, I'd just like to second your thoughts from earlier in this discussion. Sorry. Second, your thoughts from earlier in this discussion that knowledge of, I think maybe it was Ben's comment, knowledge of how trees grow may not be as important as leadership of a large, complex organization. And whatever changes we make to the position description, I think really need to emphasize the latter and not so much, being a forester per se, but having enough knowledge to be able to work effectively with the staff around all aspects of forest management.
Sure. There is specific language that we do need to be mindful of in statute requiring candidates to be familiar with Western forests. And that doesn't mean that they're a forester per se. I think that that language is open to some interpretation, but it is in statute. And so we have to be careful on that line. I don't disagree with your sentiments whatsoever. Any other comments at this point? If not, from any of our subject experts or board members, yeah. Ben.
For the record, Ben Doimling. Just one last quick point. I wanted to express I'm excited about this process, and I feel like there's a lot of agreement here. We're all on the same page of who we're looking for. And I'm especially thankful to John for helping us with this. And I look forward to working more closely with you going forward and in working through this process. And I'm glad we've got you to help. And it sounds like you know a lot more than we do about how to do this. And I'm just wanted to say that I'm glad about the team we have.
Great. Thank you, Ben. Right now, this was scheduled to go to 10:35, and at 10:35 we have Doug Graff making a presentation to us around fire protection. And I am thinking that this is a perfect time to take a break in that case. And so I'd like to recess till 10:35. Thank you all. It's a great discussion.